begin this morning, I'd like to ask you to keep a couple of folks in prayer. They've been here before. They are very good friends of mine. One is scheduled to be in summer series this summer, or was, our week number two, I think it was, and he will not be now, even though he's on our schedule. Because he had a heart attack yesterday, and he will be having bypasses on Tuesday. So they're needing to cancel that situation. That's Bill Watkins, my friend Bill from the Creve Hall congregation. And so over in... And Steve Baggett. Steve is the pulpit minister at... Walnut Street congregation in Dixon. Steve was here for summer series about 3 years ago. Steve, I received a text message a couple of days ago. Steve's son, Matt, Matthew, was killed in a car wreck, headed to work a couple of days back. That funeral will be Monday in Cookeville. Matt was part of the Jefferson Avenue Convention up there, where Steve used to be one of the ministers years ago. Matt leaves behind three small children, a six-year-old, I think a four-year-old, and about a six-month-old. So, please keep that the Baggett family in special prayer as you can. And also, we pray for Bill Watkins as well, for him to be able to get back doing what he does so well as quickly as possible. I mentioned earlier that this weekend has been busy. It's been busy for us. This month has been busy for us. We've had two graduate, it's a blur. May has kind of been a blur. Yesterday was Will's graduation from high school, and a couple of weeks prior to that was Drew's graduation and Cole's graduation as well on the same day together. And it's been a busy time. And, it got me to thinking a little bit about passages of Scripture which deal with our graduation. Now, not our graduation to glory, as we sometimes say. That is, when the Lord takes us to be with Him. We sang about some of those principles this morning even. I was listening from the back there as we entered that last verse and chorus, and you sounded so strong and so good this morning. You sang out, you know, so well, and thank you, Jacob, for that. And I believe you do, because there are certain ideas that we can sing about that you're convicted about. And some songs pull it out of us, maybe a little easier, a little stronger, a little quicker than other songs. It's just a part of who we are. We're marching to Zion. And so that's the type of song that you sing with a little more pep and a little more fervor and a little more pace. And, you know, you don't want to sing "We're Marching to Zion." We're marching to... Well, you sound real happy about it. And so we sing that with a little more pep and a little more pace. And that's how you were singing that. And thank you for that. And that's a time, or a term rather, that's an idea of graduation. That, you know, we're graduating to glory, a long-awaited glory. Well, that's not what I mean this morning, that type of graduation. That's a biblical principle, a biblical idea. But this morning, I'm talking about, and from a passage that has us gradually, you know, there's the same root idea there, the same root word, the same base. You go back to the Hebrew or the Greek there, and you'd have the same idea, that it's something that has us moving along. Now, maybe it is gradual. And when we say gradual, we're not thinking of something that comes necessarily at lightning speed. Okay, well, Scripture doesn't demand that I get certain places spiritually in lightning speed, because the Scripture is ordered by, inspired by, even written by, because of that, even written by the God who created man, and God created man, might know what he created, and he might know our weaknesses, our tendencies, our hesitancies, and things that can block our path while we're trying to go somewhere and grow somewhere in our spiritual walk. And so it's not an expectation of lightning speed all the time. Gradual. Graduating. When you think about graduating and you think about Scripture, you can't really think about it in any other term and be right, I don't think, and be accurate to the text without considering the following things. And the first being, one, it's expected. It's expected. Two, it's possible. Growth, gradual, continual, moving on, different level, maturity, all these things come to mind, is possible. And I think sometimes people are prone to think what is and isn't possible based on whether they do or don't want to do it. But you don't want to say that. Who wants to say, I'm not interested in growth? Who wants to say, I'm not really interested in growing in my spiritual walk? I'm not interested in knowing more, understanding more, and fleshing out better in how I walk and how I deal with other people. Who wants to say that? But the work that has to be put in to do that? Oh, well, So I can't say I'm not interested. I have to say, I don't think I can. I have to think about what's possible and not possible, or probable or improbable, because I sure don't want to say I'm not interested. Well, let me tell you, it is possible, but let me say this, which makes a bigger difference. It's expected. You cannot, I cannot pick up my Scripture, my Bible, I can't pick up the written Word of God and read much of it at all. You'd have to have blinders on, and some people read Scripture with blinders on. You'd have to have blinders on to pick this up, read this, and understand it that way, that it's not expected. We start this morning, I want you to understand the importance of those two things. Number one, it is possible to graduate, and it is expected that we do. Hebrews chapter 6 is going to be where we are this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll stay right there. That's where the reading came from, and we'll move past even a few verses beyond where the reading took us. Hebrews chapter 6. To begin this morning in Hebrews 6, I want you to consider a couple of things. First, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 together. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. There's something in the very first verse that is foundational to growth. Besides the fact that I understand it's possible, besides it's expected, it involves leaving something. It's hard to leave some things. It just is. There's things that are difficult to leave. They become comfortable. They're known. They're understood. I'm safe with it. It's like an old shoe. It fits like glove, or the right glove anyway. I don't know, I've had this with me so long. This car, these shoes, chair. Oh, don't take my favorite chair. Honey, if you're going to remodel, can we leave the chair? It looks awful, yes, because it fits me just right. We're comfortable. Some things are hard to leave, or some things are hard to get rid of. But some things can't happen until some other things can't happen until some other things are left. And that's the way the writer, I think Paul, we're not identified, he's identified there in Hebrews, but most. There are other thoughts. It doesn't matter this morning, but I think Paul. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. We understand that we can't stay in elementary school. That there's a natural progression, there's a need, an expectation, there's what's best, there's what'll help me down the road to go further, know more, grow more. We understand that in scholastically speaking, but look, it may be time for somebody in this room to leave elementary school in a different way. And you can, if you will, and you need to, for a lot of reasons. It's going to be difficult for you to help some people if you don't. It's going to be difficult for you to help yourself later if you don't. It's going to be difficult to enjoy all the benefits of Christ, all the benefits of His church, all the benefits of the fellowship, all the blessings that are available in Christ. You're never going to know some of those, and you're never going to feel some of those, and you sure can't pass those if you don't leave elementary school. And so as we think about graduating, the writer said, first, we got to leave something. Notice in verse 1, he talks about leaving, and depending on your translation, he's going to use terms like leaving. He's going to be talking about pressing on to other things. Because maturity is something that is further down the road. You know, that's true spiritually. Maturity is something that is further down the road than where you come to Christ. The idea that I can, at whatever age, that I can come into Christ, stay right there, and play God is not a biblical concept. It's just not. And so, therefore, we leave the elementary teaching about the Christ, and we press on. And so I want you to go with me in your book to 375. Just before I got up here, I wrote that down. I want you to go to number 375. And I'd like for us to sing that. And we're just going to sing the first two verses together. And I want you to sing it like you sung a minute ago. But I want you to sing it like you really want this. Don't sing a lie when you come to this place. Don't sing lies. I'm pressing on. Are you? Verse 2. My heart has no desire to stay in one particular place, if that's where you were to find yourself spiritually. My heart doesn't want to stay there. If you're really just fine with being there, don't sing a lie. I hope you'll all be able to sing. I hope you will, and sing well. This verse 1 and the first three verses really teach us to go to higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. Every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. verses that we look at is 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6, he moves on with some other ideas, some additional ideas that are necessary for our understanding if we're going to get there, if we're going to have growth, if we're going to graduate, even if it's gradually. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. This set of verses are potentially misunderstood. I think they are dangerous if we're not careful. We're going to dissect a couple of things there that I hope are never a problem or have never been or would never be a problem for you. I want you to understand that verse 4 does not teach... Let me back up. I want you to understand that verse 4 clearly teaches, beginning in verse 4, that it is possible to attain such a place. We talked about what was possible earlier. Verse 4 is a reminder that it is indeed possible to attain such a place as described right there in verse 4. Now that's by God's grace. That's with my cooperation. Attainment. In Scripture, attainment of spiritual strength. Moving on to maturity spiritually and being blessed by that new place, some place you didn't used to be, and that there may be another place down the line further that you can reach eventually as well. In Scripture, that's always been stated as something that's possible by, first, God's grace, but second, by my cooperation. God's not going to place me spiritually somewhere I don't want to be. And when I say where I don't want to be, I mean without my cooperation. God doesn't zap me with spiritual well-being and spiritual heights and spiritual maturity that I have no interest in working toward in cooperative effort with Him. It starts with God's grace. It demands my cooperation. But it is possible to be there. Hebrews chapter 4 teaches of those who have been there, those who may be there, are there now. Get there. Verse 4, it's possible. Verse 6 does not teach. Does not teach that it is impossible for somebody to return when they've been away from Christ. That's not what that passage teaches at all. That is not teaching the impossibility once someone's fallen to return to God. What it's teaching is the impossibility of God to grant His repentance, His grace, His mercy upon them while they're there, while they're in that state, while they're not in cooperative effort with Him. When they choose to be somewhere else, they have once tasted it and they've fallen from that, and while they're in that fallen state, He can't do anything with them. We sing sometimes this song that I love very much, His grace reaches me. Yes, His grace reaches me and will last for eternity. Now I'm under His control and I'm happy in my soul just to know that His grace can even reach me. But it doesn't reach me when I'm not interested in being reached. It doesn't reach me against my will. The Lord's not dragging me to my eventual glory eternally, kicking and screaming, like a child being taken somewhere he doesn't want to go. He's going to the doctor, he's scared to death he's going to get a shot, and he's pitching one in the waiting room or all the way down going all the way down the hall. He's literally kicking and screaming because he doesn't want to be in that room. God's not going to take me somewhere I don't want to be. He's not going to demand that I live with Him in glory whether I like it or not. His grace doesn't reach beyond my cooperative desire. And that is a better understanding of verse 6. Now, it's not impossible to fall. I should have said that a second ago. That's really, when we get to verse 6, that really should have come before what I just said. It's not impossible to fall. The idea that Scripture teaches that once I'm saved, I cannot fall is not a biblical teaching. It is not, it's a popular teaching in some religious circles, in some areas of Christendom. It is a popular teaching, and it is an understood, embraced teaching by some mighty fine people. It's just not accurate. It's just not there. The idea that I cannot fall, and that if I did, I wasn't really saved. I had somebody tell me that in the first place. I said, well, what do you do with these verses right here that are kind of hard to misunderstand? Well, now, if they said they weren't really saved in the first place. Well, now, which one of us is being judgmental? So now you get to decide that somebody was or wasn't. God called them saved. He called them saved. You got a problem when you read that passage if that's what you believe. And a host of others that we could talk about on another sermon. It is not impossible to fall, but it is impossible for His grace to remain extended while they are away. Too many passages of Scripture that teach the return, the possibility of the return. Jesus spoke of the return in Luke chapter 15. But I want you to notice something before we leave those set of verses. The verse says, depending on the translation, many translations, they crucify to themselves. They crucify to themselves again. Renew. Anew. Again. Afresh. Son of God. He is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance, but they crucify to themselves. I want you to go to 310 in your songbook. 310. This is a song that we sometimes sing before we meet around the Lord's table. Maybe it's a song Jacob's already selected today, and if so, we'll sing it twice. But I thought of this song because it's at the core of not falling. It's a prayer song that's at the core of not falling. Let's sing verse 1 and verse 3.
Jesus, keep me near the cross there, a precious fountain, free to all the redeeming stream, flows from Calvary.
verses 7 and 8. For ground that drinks the rain which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation useful to those who, for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being, and it ends up being burned. We were talking about what was possible but was also expected, and then we started talking about our cooperative effort. Verses 7 and 8 is about our cooperative effort. I want you to see in verse 7, that ground is drinking the rain that God is sending. That ground is soaking up the rain which God is sending. It's soaking it up. It's not building up and running off somewhere. It's soaking it in, soaking it down so that it can be fertile. It drinks it, and then it tills. It drinks it in, and then it tills it. We've been saddened over the last couple of days to learn about death of one of our loved guys in this congregation with Harold Goins. Harold last week, and we had a good visit for a couple of hours there, and he wanted me to be sure to go out and see his garden and some of his plants. You don't know Harold for very long or very deeply without knowing that he loved his garden and his plants. Have done stuff on a farm especially. Understand the importance not only of what God will send, but of what you must do. It's drinking it in, but it's also tilling its ground. And that's something that God won't do for me. He'll give me the tiller. He'll give me all the tools I need. But He's not going to do it for me. And so those that will not ultimately be wind up described as earlier verses taught and stay in a fallen position, or maybe never get there in the first place, that will be kept, as we just sang, near the cross, they do that because they drink it in, what God sends, and they till their spiritual ground. Now, it's a lesson for another time about what we mean necessarily by how we till our spiritual ground. What's available to us? What does it look like? Give me an example of tilling the ground. Maybe we need to do that. But I think most people in here, at least of age, as we say sometimes, understand the types of activities I'm talking about that are spiritual, that till the ground. Verse 8 reminds me that when it's not drinking it in and when it's not tilling its ground, it grows things that are worthless and it ultimately winds up burned. Verse 9 and 10. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and how and the love for which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. I don't know if any minds or how many minds in this room need to be put at certain ease with this idea. But I hope if they needed to be, I hope they can be. God does not forget those that are drinking it in and tilling His soil. You ever wonder? I mean, I think it's human to do so. Even Christianly human to do so. To wonder or worry if God will remember. Not just remember you, but more specific than that. Remember that. Remember that what? Well, remember that I this. Remember that I that. Not that we're thinking we can build enough brownie points and build a spiritual resume that's so impressive that He wants us for eternity. Not that it's earned. But you know, David wrote this way. David often wrote in the Psalms about what he believed he was. And then he said, and God, he opened himself up in a very challenging way to say, and if I'm not, show me, prove me, test me in this. Things like that. David wrote this way, a man after God's own heart. He wrote in many of the Psalms, sometimes he wrote very openly about his failures, but sometimes he wrote very openly about his faith. And that's okay. It's okay for you to believe that you are a faithful person. That is not arrogance by itself. Just make sure you are. But it's okay to believe that you are someone that is walking according to the way that God wants you to. And the way that God wants you to is not based on a comparison to the world only. But it's okay if you think you are, just as long as you are. Verse 9 and 10. I'm convinced of better things. That you're graduating. And that you are maybe though gradual. Maybe it's not with lightning speed. But Scripture doesn't demand it's always with lightning speed, or that it can always be lightning speed. But I'm convinced of better things. I want you to know, when I look at this group up front, I've bragged on our young people here for years, and I think we can, and I think we should. And I think there's really fine things coming for them if they'll choose to be in step with what they've been taught, with how they've been led, with what they've studied here. And I want you to know that can happen for the rest of you too. It can. And this morning I want to be as plain as I know to be. It may be true. I think it is. It may be true with somebody specifically in this room, or many in this room, that not only that you can, but you must for someone else's salvation and their good. Not just for you, but for someone that you dearly love. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to deal with these other thoughts later. Because I just because I decided to, period. I get to do that. You never mind, so. Let me be as plain as I know to be. Guys, if you're not leading your family spiritually, you're going to be held accountable for that. And you can't lead your family spiritually if you're outside of Christ. You may be the best thing walking. The best things walking don't get saved because they're the best thing walking. You may be more upright, more moral. You look like you would be the spiritual giant in your congregation. If you're outside of Christ by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you cannot lead your family, and you will not live with them in eternity, and you'll answer for why he or she that you love dearly might not be there either. If you want to argue that with me, that's fine. We'll meet after church. Be ready. I'm going to bring you about 8 different passages of Scripture that will side with me. Guys, are you leading your family spiritually? Well, I got a good wife. So do I. And that wasn't going to cut it with my God when I draw my last breath. I tell people all the time, if they ever say things, the good things about Drew and Will, I say, and we've received a lot of that over the last few weeks of graduations. Great. A lot of kind notes, kind thoughts. Appreciate it. Always say the same thing. Oh, you got good boys. Well, they have a good mother. I just get to come along. It rarely had to get to me. Guys, are you leading your family? We're going to sing an invitation song that's all about not falling away. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Hebrews chapter 6 in some translations begins at the top, the peril of falling away. That's the heading in many translations and by many publishers, the peril of falling away. I don't want you to do that. I want you to graduate. And if it's gradual, that's great. I'd rather you be moving and moving in the right direction than not at all. Because while you're away, you're in danger of never being able to return. And if you need to return, we're going to be standing, and our voices are going to be our pleading for you to do so. Our voices are going to be our pleading collectively for you to do so. You're loved here. You're loved by God. You can and you must. And I hope you will while together we stand and sing.